You're listening to Don't Call Me. I'm your host, M, and this is season 3, Say It Happened. This season isn't metaphor. It's not dream language. It's evidence. It's what happened before the healing, before the threshold, before I became someone who could speak it out loud. These are the years that get buried when people say, "You seem better now." This is a story they never asked for, because if they admitted it happened, they'd have to admit they let it. Custody, estrangement, alienation, allegations, silence. Everything they say I made up, say it happened. Let's begin. The clippers buzzed in my hand like a second pulse. Low, constant, almost meditative. I was standing in a stranger's bathroom. Except he wasn't a stranger. He was a man I used to date. A man who opened his door when I had nowhere else to go. A man who let me stay in his house because I had run out of options. I wasn't in danger with him, but I wasn't safe either. Because no woman is safe in a place she doesn't choose. The house wasn't mine. The room wasn't mine. Nothing about that chapter belonged to me, except my grief. And my grief was enormous. I had left New York, left my children behind. I hadn't wanted to, I hadn't planned to, but the isolation had grown so complete, so airtight, that I could no longer tell the difference between survival and capacity. My abuser didn't just harm me. He rearranged my life so I had no one left. I had no resources left either. He stripped my name from the mouths of my family. He turned my truths into liabilities. And by the time I broke away, I wasn't whole. I was hollowed out. Being without my children was the worst pain I have ever known. Worse than the assault. Worse than the courtroom. Worse than being disbelieved. Because at least then they were with me. At least then I could hold them. But now I was 800 miles away, living in a room I didn't decorate. Sleeping in sheets I didn't choose, waking up every night gasping for air, and every morning in a body that screamed, "You failed." And I couldn't tell them I loved them, because every call made things worse, because my voice became their punishment, because the system that said we care about the best interests of the children didn't care about the mother on the other end of the phone who was slowly dying inside. So I stopped calling, and I carried the silence like a wound no one could see. And then, one night, I picked up a pair of clippers. I didn't do it to feel safe. I did it because I needed something, anything, to be mine again. The first pass was shaky. Hair fell forward onto the sink in thick matted ropes. I kept going, section by section, strand by strand, not crying, not breathing, just cutting. I wasn't thinking about beauty. I wasn't thinking about trying to make a statement. I was performing a kind of surgery, removing everything he had touched, everything the world had used to soften my pain into something people could look at without flinching. Because my hair had been touched without consent. Praised in courtrooms, on sidewalks, by people who wanted to believe I was doing okay. And I wasn't. I was in exile. From my home, from my family, from my children, from myself. I shaved my head because I needed to see someone new in the mirror. Someone who didn't pretend anymore. Someone who didn't ask to be believed. Someone who simply was. When it was done, I looked at my reflection, not out of pride, not out of shock, but out of necessity. I needed to meet her, the woman who had lived through it. I didn't feel free, but I felt honest. And sometimes that's all survival can be. The next morning, I packed what little I had. I was going back. Not because it was safe, not because I had been forgiven, but because it was time to stand in the same city where I had been erased and tell the truth anyway. I threw the hair into a garbage bag. It clung to the sides like it didn't want to go. I didn't cry. I didn't smile. I just breathed, deep and steady, for the first time in what felt like years. The silence afterwards wasn't empty. It was sacred. I had done something holy. Not beautiful, not poetic. Holy. I had removed the part of me the world used to ignore my pain. And what was left? Just me. Unhidden, unsoftened, alive. That was the moment I began to re-enter myself. Not healed and not whole, but honest. If you've made it to the end of this episode, thank you. Thank you for witnessing what was never meant to be public, but demanded to be seen. This isn't fiction. This isn't commentary. This is what happened. And we're only just beginning. So until next time, take care of yourselves and one another.